All right, welcome to the Young Turks. We're going old school today. I'm going to do a segment by myself. Then Anna's going to join me for the rest of the show. Hell of a show it is. Donald Trump saying crazy things, fascist attacking people, assaulting them in the streets. Man, that's a wild, wild story. Speaking of wild stories, the Saudis apparently, as we told you, have dismembered a Washington Post columnist. Every time I say it, it sounds insane and weird. But we have more details on that. And what, if anything, is the Trump administration going to do about that? All that a little bit later in the program. Tonight, Beto versus Beta, a debate that we'll cover for members only. TYT.com/join to get that. I'll tell you more about that in a second, because I got a fun surprise for you guys in this segment. All right, so, but let's start out in West Virginia. Okay. Guys, which camera? That one. All right, that's what I thought. Okay. It's been a while. All right. Richard Ojeda is running in West Virginia. He's a Democrat. It's the third congressional district. Now, normally the way that these races work is if you're running in a red state like West Virginia and Donald Trump won that state by over 40 points, the conventional wisdom for Democrats is run Republican light. So go towards the Republicans and pretend you are one. That is not the route that Richard Ojeda has chosen. Bless his heart. So, I'm about to show you a series of ads which are incredibly aggressive. They match our slogan here at TYT, too strong. Now you think, well, I mean, are they really too strong? Hold. Now, and at the end, we've got an exclusive for you guys. His new ad out in this race, you're gonna love every one of these. Let's start out nice and easy. Let's show you an ad that normally Democrats wouldn't run, and I'll explain why. Let's watch.
I'm Richard Ojeda. One huge drug company, McKesson, has dumped over 5 million pain pills onto a small pharmacy right here in Logan County alone. And they've made millions off of pushing their pain pills. They get away with this because they grease the pockets of the members of Congress. But make no mistake about it, I don't want their money. They need not darken my doorstep. And I will have no problems throwing drug company lobbyists out of my office. I approve this message because I'm sick and tired of watching our politicians sell us out.
Damn right you are, Richard. All right, army of one indeed. All right, now we're just getting warmed up. Now, what did he do there that is forbidden in Democratic circles normally? First of all, he talked about a specific company. Whoa, they might donate to us. What are you doing? Well, I don't care. I don't want them to donate to me. And I love that line. I don't want them to darken my doorstep. There you go. Okay, second thing that's a no-no for Democratic elite and establishment is don't talk about corruption. Ojeda did not get that memo. He's talking about corruption in almost every single ad. That's how you win. Now, guys, we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong. This guy's running an actual populist campaign. And by the way, you don't have to agree with him on every issue. I don't agree with him on every issue. But there is a litmus test. If you're wondering, what's the litmus test? Corruption. You're either corrupt, you take the corporate money and you do their bidding, or you are not corrupt and you actually represent your constituents. And your constituents are different than me. They're in West Virginia, they might have different views on guns or other issues. That's not important, it's a democracy. Of course they're gonna have slightly different issues than you would in California, New York, or anywhere else, right? The question is, are you an honest actor and are you willing to represent them? And Ojeda has stepped up, but like I said, just getting started. Now he's gonna take out on his opponent. Again, in very undemocratic ways. I mean, normally Democratic Party is, we want, I remember signs I think Ossoff had when he lost, like a pre-made sign that said civility. What? He wasted $20 million in that race, more than $20 million being civil. That is not how Ojeda rolls. This is how he rolls.
I'm Richard Ojeda. Drug companies have made millions pouring their opioids into our communities, ripping apart our families. What has Carol Miller done? She's accepted campaign cash from the very same companies responsible. She's even profiting from this epidemic, an epidemic that has killed thousands of West Virginians. She actually owns stock in one of the companies responsible for it all, McKesson. I approve this message because Carol Miller's not gonna fight this opioid epidemic, but I will.
He's not playing, man. So another thing that Democrats don't normally do, I mean, like if you're gonna name your opponent and call her personally corrupt, oh my God, the mainstream media will yell at you. Come and get some, get some. Kara Miller is the daughter of a former US Representative Samuel Devine. Ooh, I do declare. And she is currently a West Virginia House of Delegates member. Normally that requires kid gloves. Again, not how Ojeda does things. Let's keep going.
I'm Richard Ojeda, and I've been under fire multiple times in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Tattooed on my back are the names of my brothers that did not come home. Now, my military record and my love of this country has come under fire once again by Carol Miller. How dare she, a millionaire who has enjoyed a life of privilege under the very freedoms that I have fought for. I approve this message because I love this country and I'm willing to fight for it. And you.
Over, over, this race is over. Okay, let me explain something. I have not looked at the polls, and on purpose. Normally I do analysis for you guys, I look at the polls, how are they standing, where are they going, etc. What is the district normally go? No. Not sight unseen, this race is over. That guy wins, he doesn't lose. Okay, so when he said that the fallen soldiers were tattooed on his back, I in my mind, I was already doing this. This race is over, I'm calling it, okay? The walk off from the camera, the way he said, Carol Miller, right? These are all the rules that make no sense at all. And look, if you're a regular person and you love this kind of stuff and you think, why do Democrats follow the nonsense rules that don't work? That's why they lost 1,000 seats across the country in the last 10 years, over 1,000 seats. So why do they keep doing the losing strategy? Because they get paid to do the losing strategy. Because, oh, don't talk about corporations, don't talk about corruption, don't fight back against the Republicans. Once you remove the corporate cash and you have an uncorrupted candidate, then you could just run to win. That's what he's doing. And that's what someone running to win looks like. Carol Miller, he's not done yet. Hit him again.
I'm Richard Ojeda, and people say that I'm angry. Well, angry is an understatement. When I come home and I find that I got children in my backyard that have it worse than the kids that I saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, I can't accept that. When I see companies using bankruptcy loopholes to keep from paying our coal miners the pensions that they work for, I will not sit quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been sold out. We've been sold out by people like Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and the Washington insiders. I approve this message because I am angry and I'm ready to fight back.
Drop the mic already. Jesus Christ. Somebody throwing the towel for Carol Miller. Oh man, when he said, some people say I'm angry. God damn right. I was like, yes, that's what I've been saying on the show for over 10 years. Can someone finally say angry? You goddamn right I'm angry. Okay? You got kids in West Virginia suffering so badly, the streams are polluted. You've got the corrupt politicians running everything. Some of you might not like it. Couple of things in there. Oh, well, he said Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, when they asked her, why do you consider yourself, according to her own words, master legislator? Oh, please, what have you gotten done? She said, oh, that's because I raised the most money. Not interested, not interested. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with calling that out. And some of you might think it's too aggressive. Would you like to win or would you not like to win? That is a candidate that wins in West Virginia. How did the other candidates do when they run milquetoast campaigns? Well, there's a guy, a couple of Democrats running in Kansas that said the courage to lead from the middle. No, I'm sorry, it was leading from the middle and the courage to compromise. Ain't no courage to compromise with Richard Ojeda. Here's who you're not gonna find in the middle of the road. Ojeda, okay? But whoever he's coming for, you might find in the middle of the road. Okay, so now the exclusive. He's got a new ad, and it's going to be featured right now for the first time ever on the Young Turks. Let's watch.
10,000 gallons of toxic chemicals poured into the Elk River, threatening the health of 300,000 people. And what did Carol Miller do? She voted against monitoring the health of those sickened by the spill. Miller even supported legislation allowing corporations to dump more toxic chemicals into the water. No surprise, Miller's accepted thousands in campaign cash from corporations that profit by poisoning us. Crooked Carol Miller sold us out.
I'm Richard Ojeda, and I approve of this message.
Crooked Carol Miller. Oh, well, you shouldn't do that. That's the kind of thing that the other side does. Yeah, the other side won 1,000 seats. You lost 1,000 seats. You know what? I don't mind him calling her name. She's earned it through her corruption. It's about time a Democrat stepped up and called it what it is. VoteOjeda.com is the website. I think you're going to want to go to it. There, will we put up the links for donations and volunteers at the bottom of this video in the description box or comment section? Yes, we will. Oh, well, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be neutral. I am not neutral. That is exactly the kind of Democratic candidate that I like. That is strength. Republicans, there's a new kind of Democrat out there, an uncorrupted one. You ain't seen nothing like it before. Richard Ojeda and Winter are coming for you. Ha ha, love it. Finally, man, I don't know, is Jesus back there? Yeah, we've been waiting 16 years for this, haven't we? about time. Go get him, Richard, go get him. Now, let's take one from his playbook. Now, we had done this independently, not related to Richard Ojeda or anything like that. Planned this a while back, okay? Now, we've been telling you about Beto versus Beta. This is one of the most important and interesting races in 2018 midterm elections. Beto O'Rourke, currently a Democratic congressman, versus Ted Cruz, currently the most loathsome politician in America, and he's the incumbent in the Senate race. Beto O'Rourke has raised a tremendous amount of money, but none from corporations or corporate PACs. So he is also an uncorrupted candidate. Ted Cruz is the definition of corruption. The problem with Beto O'Rourke, and I'll be honest about it, is that he's a little too polite and a little too nice. So he's got a great record on policy. He talks about it, and he talks about policy aggressively. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression, because he's a fighter. And first time I ever talked to him, I said, what's going to be your number one issue in Texas? He said, single-payer healthcare. I said, wow, this is a long, long time ago. Now, I totally agree with that, but almost no one else in Washington at the time believed in that. So he's a strong fighter for things that matter, okay? But for whatever reason, he has decided that he is not going to attack Ted Cruz that much in his commercials. Maybe that's his political strategy. I got nothing to do with that. Me, I like attacking Ted Cruz. So here's what we decided to do. We're not the Young Turks, you're the Young Turks. So we did an ad, and we're going to ask you guys to finance it as much as you want. You don't like it, don't put money into it, and we won't run it against Ted Cruz. You like it, put money in, we'll run it a lot against Ted Cruz. Obviously in Texas, and there's 3 weeks before the election, could be a little bit relevant. I'm going to tell you where to go in a second, but hold, I'm about to release the ad. Here's the ad we put together in this particular race in Texas against Ted Cruz.
This is Ted Cruz. That's him phone banking for Donald Trump after Trump called his wife ugly. Look at him. What kind of a man does that? Oh yeah, Trump also said his father was probably a murderer. He made calls on behalf of Trump after being unmanned by him. You're looking at the saddest man in America, Ted Cruz 2018. Pathetic.
Fun for everybody. TYT.com/Cruz gets you to an Act Blue page where you can donate to your heart's content. The money goes strictly for running that particular ad. And if you like it, let's run it a lot. Totally up to you guys how much you want to do it. Okay. I think that ad could be effective. By the way, you might be wondering, wait, isn't the Young Turks a company? Are companies allowed to do that? Yes. You know why? Citizens United. Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. It's a terrible, terrible ruling. One of the worst rulings in Supreme Court history. Ted Cruz and the other Republicans better hurry up and fix it. Otherwise, we can run ads too. Game on. By the way, if you like what we do, and we are the home of progressives, and that's why we do things like this, also become a member and be way too strong with us. TYT.com/join. Okay, that's how you get 18 different progressive shows and a media organization that will kick ass on your behalf. Ted Cruz, we're coming. Okay, let's see what happens. We're having fun today. Now, let's go to Trump. Oh boy. After this series of ass kickings, we move on to Donald Trump. Okay. Now, I told you about a very peculiar case of a server in Pennsylvania that Donald Trump was using to communicate with, seemingly, with the Russians. I told you about that a long time ago, and it was not based on our reporting. It was Franklin Foer at Slate, who had done some great reporting on it. Eric Lichblau at New York Times tried to do some great reporting on it, but was blocked by his executive editor. They thought that it might be too political right before an election to reveal that Donald Trump might be receiving communication from the Russians. No, it's political to hold a story like that. That is a political decision you're making when you have a story. They eventually ran the story, but with a completely misleading title, saying that the FBI basically had concluded that Trump is not working with the Russians. Now they've of course reversed that, and it was never true in the first place. I'm about to show you what is true. Now there's some new details with great reporting from Dexter Filkins at the New Yorker. And if you've never heard this story before, it is amazing. And in my opinion, conclusive proof that at least someone on the Trump campaign very, very clearly communicated with the Russians. Yeah, if you don't believe it, I think after you look at the evidence, there might be something wrong with you. So we'll get to that in a second. And so first, I'm just asking everybody to keep an open mind here and look at the evidence, okay? And obviously, we'll put a link to the actual article down below if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook later in the description box where all the links always are, so you can read it for yourself. It's a long one. Here, let me summarize. First of all, they talked to a group of computer scientists who are prominent and apparently monitor the internet in ways that we were not aware of before. I told you about this in the last story. And Filkins explains, its members sometimes work with law enforcement or for private clients, but mostly they acted as self-appointed guardians of the internet, trying to thwart hackers and to keep the system clean of malware. Guardians of the galaxy, if you will. There's a guy named Max, that's a pseudonym that he's using because he doesn't want to be outed. And he is among these computer scientists. But again, the reporters have confirmed that he is in fact a prominent computer scientist, the guy who worked on this and asked many other computer scientists, dozens, including professors who are experts in this area, to also look at the evidence to see if he was getting anything wrong. And they all concluded, no, it is exactly right. And Max, it turns out, was a John McCain Republican. So not only was he not biased against Republicans, initially what he saw was, oh, the Russians hacked into the Democratic servers. So they're probably trying to do the same thing to the Republicans. So he thought to himself, quote, we were trying to protect them. By them, he means the Republicans. He initially took on this task of looking around to see if the Russians were trying to tap into anything else, hack into anything else, to protect the Republicans. Hey, they don't get hacked into like the Democrats did. But he found something else completely. So here's what he found out. In the small town of Lititz, Pennsylvania, a domain linked to Trump Organization seemed to be behaving in a peculiar way. Well, they looked into it a little further. Why does Trump even have a server there? And why is it receiving these bizarre messages from specific folks? Well, examining records of the Trump domain, Max's group discovered DNS lookups from a pair of servers owned by Alpha Bank, one of the largest banks in Russia. Alpha Bank's computers were looking up the address of the Trump server nearly every day. Boy, that's really weird. And here's what Max had to say about it. We were watching this happen in real time, and we thought, why the hell is a Russian bank communicating with a server that belongs to the Trump Organization and at such a rate? Now, there was a lot of different explanations after he came out with that story initially, or Slate did. Things like spamming and spoofing, they're all absolute nonsense. I'll get to that in a minute as well. But certainly, when you first look at it, it raises almost a literal red flag, but not a red scare. This is actually based on evidence. And it goes, okay, that's weird. Let's look into it more and see if there's a logical explanation. But the part that to me last time I explained was the clincher, was the second largest entity looking and communicating with that Trump server in Pennsylvania. And so he found the same thing. So here it is. Only one other entity seemed to be reaching out to the Trump Organization's domain with any frequency.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Spectrum Health of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Spectrum Health is closely linked to the DeVos family. Richard DeVos Jr. is the chairman of the board, and one of its hospitals is named after his mother. His wife, Betsy DeVos, was appointed Secretary of Education by Donald Trump. Now, you're telling me that there's a server in Pennsylvania belonging to Donald Trump, and the two major groups communicating with it are a Russian bank and the DeVos family. Later, Betsy DeVos is named Education Secretary. And that's a coincidence. Hold, we're not done with the coincidences. How about DeVos's brother? Her brother, Eric Prince, is a Trump associate who has attracted the scrutiny of Robert Mueller, the special counsel investigating Trump's ties to Russia. Mueller has been looking into Prince's meeting following the election with a Russian official in the Seychelles, at which he reportedly discussed setting up a back channel between Trump and the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. Prince maintains that the meeting was incidental. Incidental. Okay, so the Russian bank and the DeVos family communicating with a Trump server during the campaign, the critical parts of the campaign from May on. After the election, Betsy DeVos incidentally becomes education secretary. Then her brother incidentally goes to Seychelles Islands to meet with the Russians to set up a back channel with Vladimir Putin. What a bunch of incidents and coincidence. Spamming. Spoofing? Are you crazy? Okay. You think that accidentally the server happened to look up a Russian bank and the DeVos family, and then one of the DeVos family members wound up in an island with the Russians communicating after Trump won? All that was a coincidence. No person in their right mind could believe that, but I got more. So wait, look, maybe these are two things that are communicating with a Trump server, but there's a million others, and you're picking a needle in a haystack and trying to make connections. No. 2,500 lookups, nearly all of them from Alpha Bank and Spectrum Health. It's not two out of a million. It's two out of two. Almost every lookup, I believe it's over 99% of the communications with the Trump server was Alpha Bank, Spectrum Health. The Russian bank, the DeVos family. There ain't no coincidence that large. Anyone who doesn't understand that is completely irrational. Okay. You say, well, no, I don't know. Maybe Spectrum Health was, this is some of the absurd theories. Maybe Spectrum Health was sending marketing emails and the Trump server was accidentally responding to it and blah, 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 blah. Okay, how about this? It would require, for that theory to hold, it would require the service at Spectrum Health to be, one of the theories was a glitch, a computer glitch, hilarious. It would require the servers at Spectrum Health to be simultaneously experiencing the same glitch. Yeah. Oh, well, golly gee, there was a glitch that went to Trump talking to the Russian bank, and then another glitch from the Russian bank back to them. There's the Oxfam, another glitch. Oh my God, look at all these coincidental glitches. There ain't no glitch. They're obviously communicating to one another. Now, what's inside those messages, that's super important. We're going to get to that because we don't yet have all that information. But is there a way we can find out? Hold. So Max and some other scientists I spoke to, according to Dexter Filkins here, theorized that they may have been using the system to signal one another about events or tasks that had to be performed. Money to be transferred, for instance, or data to be copied. Ding, 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 ding. I believe we have a winner. Now, it might not be the case. We got to see what's in the communications. And can we do that? Again, I'll get to that in a second. So are those hypotheses far more likely? Saying they're a million times more likely actually literally, scientifically, statistically underplays it. It is way more than a million times more likely that they were actually communicating or perhaps saying when money would be transferred than there was a computer glitch or a spam and it happened to miraculously happen from only those two things and both going in both directions. Okay, so Max concluded, we decided this was a covert communication channel, to which I say, of course it is. Okay, so we're not done. On September 21st, he wrote, the Times had delivered potential evidence of communications to BGR, okay? Now, this is a really important part of the story. That's a Washington lobbying firm that worked for Alpha Bank. 2 days later, the Trump domain vanished from the internet. Now, this was not part of the earlier story, and so as I looked at that, I thought, I mean, if it wasn't over already, it's definitely over now. You understand what happened? So the New York Times, in the story that I mentioned in the beginning, reaches out to Alpha Bank and says, look, we're going to do a story on you. What's your explanation on this very peculiar fact pattern, right? At that point, Alpha Bank doesn't shut it down. Trump shuts it down. But wait a minute, they never contacted Trump. Oops. Max's group was surprised. The Trump domain had been shut down after the Times contacted Alpha Bank's representatives, but before the newspaper contacted Trump. So the obvious conclusion is the one that Max reached. That shows a human interaction. Certain actions leave fingerprints, he explained. Now, if you were just communicating and there was just spam going back and forth, investigators would tell Alpha Bank, how would Alpha Bank send a spam to the Trump? Of course not. No, someone actually had to pick up a phone and say, they're on to us. And so the Trump server cuts off. How in the world would they have known unless they were already communicating to Alpha Bank? Okay, for 4 days, it keeps getting worse and worse. For 4 days, the servers at Alpha Bank kept trying to look up the Trump domain. Then 10 minutes after the last attempt, one of them looked up another domain, which had been configured to lead to the same Trump organization server. Well, if it was spam or a glitch, why would the server continue to try to look up, the Alpha Bank guys try to look for a Trump server and then find a second one? They miraculously, in their random sending of marketing emails, found a second Trump server? No one in their right mind could believe that. No one. In fact, here's Paul Vixey from far-right security saying, why did Alpha look up either name, and especially the second name? Well, there is no logical explanation for that, unless they knew what the second name was and they were told to look that up, and they did, so they could reestablish the line of communication. Now, here is what the latest is in terms of whether we are ever going to find out what was in those communications. Did those communications happen? Absolutely. Were they a sign that the Russians and someone in the Trump administration were communicating and hence colluding? Absolutely. Absolutely. You'd be crazy to think otherwise. And if you are, I don't know. I don't, maybe you got a dog in the fight. I don't. Maybe you have already been in a certain position and you've maintained it for so long, you don't want to see straight. But this is overwhelming. Now, will we find out what was in those communications? Now, here's really bad news. Before I get to the good news, in June 2017, Trump nominated Brian Benczkowski, a lawyer who had overseen the Strauss-Friedberg report for Alpha Bank, to lead the criminal division of the Justice Department. Oh, no. So here's what happened. First of all, the law firm representing the Russian oligarchs and this bank was a law firm that Don McGahn worked at. Do you remember who Don McGahn is? He's the White House counsel. So he gets hired to be White House counsel after his firm works on this case. Now, the guy who was in charge of the so-called investigation that Alpha Bank did once they were exposed was this guy, Brian Benczkowski. And he concluded, oh, yeah, I talked to Alpha Bank, and they say it was a coincidence, and we're done with it. That's that guy. Appears to be a complete and utter fraud. Now, I get it. He's a lawyer. He gets paid to lie, basically, on behalf of his clients. Really? You looked at an investigation and were like, oh, no, yep, coincidence. Yeah, let's wrap this up. Oh, who did the investigation of Alpha Bank? Oh, Alpha Bank. Oh, wow, okay. They hired the Strauss Friedberg to do it, and Strauss Friedberg, after being paid by Alpha Bank, concluded Alpha Bank was awesome. Now, the guy who led all that at the law firm is now the guy who is at the head of the criminal division of the Justice Department. So if something is rigged, it is rigged in favor of Donald Trump. The Democrats objected. Of course, the Republicans steamrolled him, and he was confirmed. This is the corruption that is happening. And New Yorker explains, he and referring to Richard Durbin and other Democratic senators were especially troubled that Benczkowski would not commit to recusing himself from dealing with Mueller's investigation, even though he had worked for two of Russia's leading oligarchs. You worked at the law firm that led the investigation, so-called investigation, into clearing Alpha Bank. You worked for two of the Russian oligarchs. That's at the center of the Mueller investigation. Will you recuse yourself? He's like, of course not. Remember why Trump is so mad at Jeff Sessions? Because he recused himself. This guy was not hired to recuse himself. He was hired not to recuse himself. He was hired with this, it appears, with this specific intent. Make sure you get in there, and you're our guy on the inside. He's not a small little guy. He's the head of the criminal division at the Justice Department that oversees the FBI. So that's the corruption that's going on. So where's the hope? Well, the Democrats have asked us for this in the past, but if they win the House in about 3 weeks, they can stop politely asking and they could subpoena. So what are they asking for? The Democrats implored the majority, and again, they won't have to implore much longer, potentially, depending on how the elections go, to force Sendin, that's the company that dealt with the server, to turn over computer data that would help determine what had happened. Those records could show who in the Trump organization used the server. There would probably also be a record of who shut down the Trump domain after the Times contacted Alpha Bank. Sendin might have records of any outgoing communications sent by the Trump organization. Now, I don't know that they do. I don't know what information they have. I don't know if Mueller's already got that information. I do know that Democrats, if they win the majority in the House, will be looking for that information. And my God, if they save the communications inside those messages that went back and forth, game over. Now, until you have those communications, could you prove all this in a court of law? Well, maybe they were talking about tennis. Maybe they were trading food recipes. Now, you and I know, if you're anywhere within the universe of rational, that that's not what was happening. But we don't know for certain, with specificity enough to prove in a criminal case, what happened. But those messages, they know. So will they be able to get the messages? Will Trump's lackeys at the Justice Department block the investigation? Will the Democrats be able to subpoena the records? Do they exist? And to what degree do they exist? Will they show actually what was in the communications? It is possible that that will determine everything. So there's the collusion right there. The question is, what's inside? We might find out in just a couple of weeks. So I conclude this report with tick, 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 tick. He definitely did it. The question is, exactly what, and will they get him? I'm going to find out soon. We'll be right back. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. Back on AI Tours, Jing and Anna with you guys. How you doing, Anna?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It was an excellent venting session. Okay, thank you for the correction, Schmick, in the member section. Freudian slip, Jenk. You said far-right security. It's far-sight security. Okay, sorry about that, far-sight security. It is in the graphics, and you're right, that was a Freudian slip. On the Ojeda ads, Heise34Berg says, please set this guy loose in Congress. I hear you, brother, and I agree. Eduardo writes, and I think that we're seeing a new breed of political contenders, and I'm so happy about it. New era, new wave, pushing for a better life. Jane Locke says, I've got to go give Richard Ojeda a donation. How refreshing to have a Democrat with a spine running for office.
Are we sure it's Ojeda?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's West Virginia. It's Ojeda. No, I've had him on the show two times.
Okay.
Maybe three. So,
but like, it's pronounced like that just because of the demographic that he's.
No. I don't know what his ethnic background is. I don't know how long his family has been pronouncing it Ojeda.
Okay. Got it.
But I wonder the same thing. It's a normal thing to wonder. Anyway, Orthochronicity. Oh boy. Said polls for Ojeda mixed, oscillating between him and Miller. Most recent two are a slight lead for Miller or a comfortable lead for Ojeda, but all within the margin of error. Gonna be interesting. Well, now that you've told me that, thank you, appreciate it. I'm even firmer on it. If it's anywhere near close, and he had enough money, that's important. If he had enough money from small dollar donations to run those ads, and people in his district saw those ads, then it's over. But we'll see. Hey, look, this is the great thing about my predictions and saying things ahead of time instead of playing Monday morning quarterback. You have to find out if I'm right or not. There was a couple that I got wrong in the midterm elections. You got to keep that in mind. So I'm putting a lot of my eggs in this basket. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I know politics.
Do you want to take a bet?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want to take a bet. I did not watch the first segment of the show, keeping it honest.
Uh-huh. 100, you could say 100.
Why is that keeping him honest? I just thought, thought about it. Anderson Cooper's segment. Just that one segment where he keeps him honest. Anyway, but did you talk at all about Beto O'Rourke and how establishment Dems are mad at him for raising too much money?
Oh, no, I didn't even see that.
Oh, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Oh, okay, great. So look, I forgot to tell you guys, this is super important. We're doing a debate tonight, Beto O'Rourke versus Ted Cruz. It's for the members. John Idola and I will do live play-by-play. So tyt.com/join to become a member, so you can check that out. Unfortunately, Beto was too soft in the last debate. I can't wait to see how this is going to happen. Anna and I are going to do post-game after Rebel Headquarters tonight on Rebel Headquarters. Ben Jealous and Audrey Denny, another wonderful, really strong progressive candidate from Northern California. And then the post-game, and then the debate coverage. And John will tell us in that coverage about that story about how establishment Democrats are upset at Beto for raising too much small dollar donations.
I love it.
I haven't heard the story. My head's already exploding.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get going. What's next, Anna?
All right. We are still uncertain as to the whereabouts of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. He was a journalist living here in the United States due to self-exile after he was critical of the Saudi royals. So he feared for his own safety. However, after going to the Saudi consulate in Turkey to get a document he needed to marry his Turkish fiance, he never came out of the consulate. And now it is becoming more and more clear that he was likely murdered. Now, I'm going to give you more details on why it is now more accepted that he is likely dead. But before I do so, I want to be clear with you guys about what the Trump administration's stance on this is. Now, Mike Pompeo did go to Saudi Arabia to meet with the Saudi royals. I'll give you the details on that in just a second. But the latest breaking news on this has to do with Donald Trump's interview with the Associated Press and what his thoughts are on the mounting pressure to do something in response to what Saudi officials allegedly did here. And he has already said that he is not planning on halting or stopping the sale of weapons to the Saudis. And now he's also saying, according to this interview with the Associated Press, here we go again with you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah. Now, he's talking about rogue killers. What rogue killers? Yeah, I know. OJ snuck into the embassy and killed Khashoggi. Okay, there ain't no rogue killers. It was a Saudi government. And the Saudi government doesn't send 15 assassins into a different country by accident. It's not like, oh my God, the Secretary of the Transportation approved that. It didn't go all the way up to the head of the country. No, the Labor Secretary accidentally sent the 15 assassins. No, it's preposterous. You only do that if you want to cover up for Saudi Arabia. And of course, that's what Donald Trump wants to do.
Now, yesterday, sources spoke to CNN anonymously and told CNN that the Saudis are preparing to admit that Khashoggi has died, but they are going to spin the story to essentially say that it was an interrogation that went wrong and that the Saudi royals knew nothing about this. Even though Khashoggi was a journalist living in the United States because he was fearful that the Saudi royals would go after him and murder him because he was so critical of him, of them in his writing.
So let's talk about layers of absurdities there, okay? So an interrogation gone awry. Well, look, you know, we were interrogating him and our hand slipped and dismembered his entire body. How has that gone awry? Right. We were waterboarding him and we accidentally drowned him. Okay, well, first of all, you're already doing torture. So if an interrogation is, did you do it? What have you said? What do you know, right? An interrogation isn't, well, we brought him to the edge of death. Oops, damn it. It turns out he died. That's not a legitimate interrogation. That's point number one. Point number two is, apparently he was dismembered. So even if you were doing torturous investigation and interrogation, you don't slip and accidentally chop up 8 different parts of his body.
Right. Actually, I think point number one should be, why was he being interrogated when he went to the Saudi consulate in Turkey to get the document he needed to marry his fiance?
Excellent.
Like, why did he need to be interrogated? And remember, the first story or the first answer that we heard from the Saudis in response to this was that, nope, we insist that he left the consulate. He left the consulate. There's no way that he was murdered or that we had anything to do with this. He went in, he came out. No one can explain it, but that's what happened.
Now, the final absurdity, if we're on to number 4 or 5 now, mm-hmm. is and boy, the 15 guys on that team, their pictures have been identified by the Turkish government. They're in a world of hurt because some of them are very likely going to be thrown under a bus. And in Saudi Arabia, that could be literal. So they're going to find the rogue killers. So here are their options. Find someone that is not on that 15-person team and say he's the one who authorized it. In reality, that person will not be a friend of the Saudi government. It'll be an enemy of the Saudi government. They'll frame him 100% and murder a second person who they did not like. That is the most likely outcome. But if there's too much heat and they got to pick somebody from the 15-person team, they will execute one, many, or all of them, and partly because they know what happened,
yep.
right? And say, hey, thanks for doing us that favor that we told you, we ordered you to do. Now I'll murder you for doing the thing that I ordered you to do. So some of that murder is coming up next from the Saudi government. I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll find out, right? We'll see if they name someone. We'll see what they do with that person. We'll see if it's at all connected to this. But here's what's not going to happen. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman raises his hand and goes, yeah, it was me. I ordered the execution and dismemberment of that journalist because I didn't like what he said about me. And now, what could happen is, now you know what, we all have a pretty good sense of what the reality is. Now, if the Trump administration was genuine and honest, they would say that's unacceptable. And Trump talked about severe consequences, and they would do those severe consequences. Why? They would say, I don't want anybody living in America, permanent resident or not, citizen or not, that is a journalist working for an American media organization to walk into any embassy in the world and risk dismemberment. That's a very, very bad precedent, so there will be consequences. Or Trump could do what he appears he's more likely to do, which is help the Saudis cover up their murder because he makes money from it. He makes money with the Saudi government. They gave him a bunch of contracts as soon as he was elected. They go and spend inordinate amounts of money at his hotel. They changed from other hotels to Trump hotels right after he won the election in order to butter up and bribe our president more. And our president loves bribes.
He does. It always goes back to Trump's own self-interest. Is he making money? Is he somehow enriching himself with whatever he's doing? And that's the main reason why he's already pushing this narrative, indicating that Saudi Arabia is being treated unfairly. Why are we treating them as if they're guilty before, you know, being proven innocent? Just all of this narrative that you saw with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, which you see with every other political issue that comes up where Trump is involved. And honestly, the thing that keeps, as we cover this story, the thing that keeps coming back to my memory is the interaction that we had at the RNC, where, and this is why. So as you guys know, as we were doing our live show, our set got crashed by Alex Jones and Roger Stone. And in the middle of that whole debacle, I don't know what Alex Jones's exact wording was, but he essentially accused us of supporting Saudi Arabia. And you can hear hear Cenk very clearly saying, we criticize Saudi Arabia all the time, we criticize. Anyway, the reason why I bring that up is because, so where's Roger Stone? I would say where's Alex Jones, but he's been blocked everywhere because he's a clown. But like, where's the right wing that was very much concerned about this type of behavior in the Muslim world? Right? Are they upset about this? Are they angry at Trump for refusing to do anything about this? And by the way, another thing that Trump says over and over again, if you listen to any interview or read any interview that he's done in response to this, he keeps emphasizing that Khashoggi was not an American citizen, that he was a resident, essentially downplaying the value of his life to get people to think this isn't really that big of a deal. If you're an American, you don't need to worry about this. I mean, he wasn't an American citizen, he was just a resident. It doesn't matter. Once you allow any country to just willy-nilly murder journalists because they don't like the things that this journalist is writing about, you're right, Cenk, it sets a dangerous precedent, especially when it happens in a consulate or embassy.
Well, so now, last two things related to what you're saying, Anna, is when they crashed our set, and I had not thought to connect those two things, but Roger Stone also said, we know what you've been saying on air. So at TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Their attack against the media has been persistent. And before he even became president, they've taken it to absurd levels. Trump has called the media the enemy of the people. Now, when a member of the media is apparently murdered by the Saudis and dismembered, now he's talking about, who can know, really? And maybe it was rogue killers and not the Saudi government itself. And that the Saudis have been treated unfairly. I think Khashoggi was treated fairly unfairly, not the Saudi government, okay? Right. Now, and for us, we do nuance. So are the Saudi people bad people? Of course not. Are Muslims overall bad people? Of course not. Is the government of Saudi Arabia dictatorial and reprehensible in about 1,000 different ways? Yes. Absolutely, we've said it from day one. We said it before anybody else said it, because a lot of times the mainstream media, until stuff like this happened, well, the Saudis, kid gloves, they're allies. They're allies, you just gotta leave them alone. No, we don't. You can be consistent with allies and enemies if you actually have real principles, okay? Now, I asked the MAGA guys who don't do nuance.
Really? They don't do nuance?
Yeah. Color you surprised, I know. You guys loved it when Trump said we're going to ban the Muslims during the campaign. He said, until we figure out what the hell is going on, we're going to ban all Muslims. You loved that talk, right? Ah, there's a truth teller. Go get him, Donald Trump, right? I don't know if you know this. The Saudis are Muslims, okay? And the 15 out of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. The Sunni insurgency that killed thousands of our troops funded by Saudi Arabia. These guys have been killing us for a long, long time. Not the Saudi people, but yes, people connected to the Saudi government. And that Saudi government now dismembers a journalist. What happened? I thought Trump was going to be tough. All of a sudden, Putin soft. Oh, hey, it's a dictator. A dictator that gives contracts to Donald Trump. A dictator that pays off defense contractors and buys billions of dollars of weapons from them. Everybody in Washington's filthy rich from these guys. So all of a sudden, Donald Trump with a big bear hug to the worst Muslims in the world. As I said a billion times, we believe that Muslims are like every other human being. There's good guys, bad guys, super obvious to anyone who's rational. But if you thought Muslims are bad, the Saudi government is the worst of the worst. And Donald Trump just said, oh, they're being treated unfairly. What happened? I thought he was on your side. It turns out he's on his side. All he cares about is his own money. When is it going to get through your thick head that he's deeply, deeply corrupt?
One other thing I just want to quickly add in regard to the weapons that are being sold to Saudi Arabia. Look, we've been pretty tough on Democrats in Congress for, I think, fair reasons and very obvious reasons. But when it comes to the sale of weapons to the Saudis, congressional Democrats have actually successfully put a hold on a number of weapons in response to the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen and how it's led to the murders of nearly 60,000 civilians in the country. And so the Saudis are now concerned that because of what happened to Khashoggi, they're going to put even more holds on the weapons that are being sold. And so what did they do? They immediately ran to Trump and had a conversation with him about this. And we'll see how this goes. But look, while we're talking about this and we're talking about what's happening in front of everyone, just keep in mind the types of conversations that happen behind the scenes. Because at the end of the day, everything goes back to money. Everything goes back to, you know, who profits, what weapons are being sold, who gets to benefit from those weapons. Those are the issues that you should focus on, the details you should focus on when it comes to this story, not the ridiculous deflections from Trump where he tries to compare the murder of this journalist to what happened to Kavanaugh.
You know what, though? I did amuse myself as you were making that point, Anna, and realizing there will now be some MAGA guys who are like, well, look, the Saudis are good guys.
Of course.
The Saudis, I mean, like the most fundamentalist Muslims are like the best Muslims. And the ones that, you know, hey, he killed a member of the media. That's good. That's good, yeah. I mean, I always liked the Muslims. Can't wait.
You're probably not wrong.
Plus, they hate gays. I hate gays. They hate the media. I hate the media.
What can we do? Trump had tremendous chemistry, you know? Chemistry with the Saudis.
He had good energy with them. He made a good deal
the
with
best,
them.
The best
Yeah,
energy.
So they killed
beautiful
the Washington
energy.
Post reporter.
Big, beautiful
Well,
energy.
It was a good deal. It was a good deal. We made money. He made money. And that guy got dismembered. It was a good deal. I can't wait. Go for it, MAGA guys. Go for it. Defend Saudi Arabia. Defend the most fundamentalist government in the world. The most corrupt, I mean, of any religion, but certainly of the Muslims. Go ahead, defend them. Can't wait.
We got to take a break. When we come back, more news for you, including something good that the Trump administration is planning on doing. Are we going to give them some credit? Come right back.
All right. Back on the Young Turks. Lots of great comments. Let me go to YouTube Super Chat. OTR Trucker says Trump hates Bezos. Trump loves Saudis. Saudis kill Washington Post reporter. Trump says, meh.
Oh.
Man, we got a monster that's the head of this country.
I want to hold on to the small amount of naivete that I have left and give him the benefit of the doubt.
Does he care about that guy's life?
No, he doesn't care, but I don't think that he's like malicious in thinking, I don't like the Washington Post, so good. I don't think he's that bad. No, he's probably that bad.
I don't know. We don't know. Anyway, it's not important. What's important is his actions.
Yeah.
Bipolar Colbert writes in on Twitter, we need to stop the Saudi money from coming across our borders until we figure out what's going on. Yeah. Oh, the Muslims we need to stop, but they're not their money.
Mm-hmm.
But not their money. Interesting. That's a great point. Thank you for writing in. Dr. Chaos MD in the members section says, even if Trump didn't have financial dealings with the Saudis, he still probably wouldn't care much about a murdered journalist. Trump hates the press when they don't print nice things about him and craves praise from people who he looks up to. Unfortunately, he looks up to dictators like Mohammed bin Salman, Duterte, Putin, and Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. Okay, Gabby Morita says, somehow I have a weird feeling the GOP will find a way to blame a Saudi attack on an American or Iraq, or maybe Iran this time. They did Iraq last time. Now, think about it. At first, I was like, wait, what is Gabby saying? I'm like, oh, right. The last time the Saudis did 9/11, we blamed Iraq.
That's right.
Having nothing to do with anything, mm-hmm. right? And then finally, EPTX Minor on the Beto O'Rourke story says, as a proud El Pasoan and Beto supporter, I also agree that Beto is being too nice. Just don't need to run your ad. Make sure you run in the smaller rural counties, which is where Cruz pulls most of his support. So, look, I didn't know how you guys reacted to it, and we just started it. So far, already $3,400 donated to run that ad against Ted Cruz. TYT.com/Cruz. You guys are amazing. By the way, we're doing it, you know, for free, the Young Turks, but people worked on it, et cetera. If you want to also give to TYT.com/yes to make that happen, or since it already happened, that would be great. We would appreciate that. That's just to donate. And obviously, being a member is the most important at tyt.com/join. But we appreciate the donations as well at yes. Okay? And keep it going on Cruz. Let's go to the next story.
All right. The Trump administration is proposing a new law that would essentially force the major drug companies to include prices for the drugs that they're advertising in their advertisements. Now, I'm sure all of you have come across a television spot or two featuring a pharmaceutical company pushing whatever drug they're trying to get you to buy, and they're telling you to go ask your doctor about it. Well, the Trump administration is essentially saying, okay, those ads are fine, but you need to let consumers know exactly how much these drugs cost. Now, under this proposed rule, a company would have to put in writing the price for a typical course of treatment for drugs such as antibiotics or the 30-day cost of drugs taken for chronic conditions such as high blood pressure or diabetes. Now, I want to give the Trump administration credit for that because I think anytime there's more transparency, it's a good thing, especially when it comes to a powerful lobbying group like the pharmaceutical industry. And I also love that the pharmaceutical industry has had a negative reaction to this, which means it's a good thing. But I also want to be clear in stating that it is a half measure. This is not going to do anything to lower the price of pharmaceutical drugs. They're not negotiating with these pharmaceutical companies to lower the prices. And that's really the root of the problem here. And who knows, maybe the Trump administration will eventually get to that, but we'll see. Now, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar announced the new proposal just hours after the lobby group that represents big drug companies said its members would start indirectly mentioning prices in their television ads. So essentially what the pharmaceutical companies want to do, and again, this is immediately after they met with Azar, is not post or mention the price of the drugs in the advertisements, but rather direct consumers to a website which would then list the prices. But Azar is saying, no, I know you're trying to be cute here, but that's not good enough. In fact, here's his exact quote. He says, we appreciate their effort, but placing information on a website is not the same as putting it right in an ad. He also said, we will not wait for an industry with so many conflicting and perverse incentives to reform itself. It appears that that's an admission that corporations are unwilling to, you know, regulate right. themselves. So let's just make sure we have that in our back pockets in the future when Republicans tell us, no, we don't need to regulate because corporations regulate themselves.
Okay, so First of all, there are three different layers to what could be done. One is what the drug companies want to do. Well, first of all, the drug companies want to do nothing. But since they're under pressure, they're saying, okay, well, we'll just run the ad and say you can go to the website to find out the price. Nobody's going to go to the website. They know that. That's why that's the thing that they push for. Then there's what the activists push for, which is to actually get you lower drug prices. And so there are a lot of different ways to do that. But one way that Donald Trump promised, and to be fair, Barack Obama also promised, was to negotiate drug prices on behalf of the American people for Medicare and Medicaid. Both of them lied about it. Now, you can say, oh, well, no, Obama meant well, and he cut a deal, and then it's because we got Obamacare, and da 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 da. Okay, fine. But he ran an ad. He ran a commercial saying he was going to make sure that we negotiated on behalf of the American people, and he refused to do it. Trump, same exact thing. Oh, my God, why can't we negotiate with the drug companies? Because they own you, you dumbass. They own you, okay? And so Trump came in and was like, yeah, never mind, I'm not doing that. It turns out they own us. I'm not going to negotiate drug prices either. That is the actual solution. And that is one of many things you could do to actually fix the problem. Instead, they're going to go with the Republican approach. Well, for now at least. So this is the same thing they did with money in politics, which is the Disclose Act in the case of campaign finance reform. Well, no, we're going to continue the bribes, but we're just going to let you know who's doing the bribing. And then you know what happened next? They changed their mind. Mitch McConnell was like, why are we doing that? I don't want him to know who's bribing me. And Mitch McConnell killed it. And then he flipped the entire Republican Party, even in Citizens United, Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote, well, obviously they'll tell you who's giving him the money. And then Mitch McConnell turned around and was like, just kidding. We're not going to tell you who's giving us the money. We're going to take the dark money. So for the moment being, the Republicans say that they will tell us, they will force the drug companies to tell us in their ads what the prices are. We'll see. But if they follow through on it, it is nowhere near good enough. But credit where credit is due, it's at least something as opposed to nothing, which is what we're used to with the Trump administration. And TYT Investigates has done a number of stories on Alex Azar's corruption, which you should check out at TYT.com. And we are home of progressives, but we're also fair. So this is definitely unexpected, and it is at least a small step, but a positive step forward.
Exactly. One other thing I wanted to just quickly mention is the most effective way to negotiate drug prices. And the most effective way to do that is to have a universal healthcare system. And I'm not kidding about that. I'm not just saying it. There's actual evidence to prove it. So why is it that in the United States, we pay more for pharmaceutical drugs compared to countries like Canada, for instance? Well, one of the main reasons why is because we don't have the government negotiating the prices on our behalf, because the government is the entity that insures all of its citizens. You see what I'm saying? So the way that it works is, and you'll see this in your health insurance bills, you'll look at it and you'll see, okay, here's the price that the doctor charged, or here's the price of the drug, for instance. But then my private insurer negotiated with the doctor to get the price down. They came to an agreement and the price is lower. Insurance covers some portion of it, and then the consumer or the patient pays the rest. When you have a universal healthcare system, the pharmaceutical companies don't have a choice, right? They have to negotiate, because you have a huge group of people that the government is representing, and essentially the government is saying, all right, well, do you want these patients or not? Do you want, you know, their business or not? Or do you want the money that's tied to these patients or not? And so doctors, healthcare providers, all that, they have to negotiate, and that's what keeps the prices lower.
Now, without that, you know what the prices are? So for the top 10 drugs that are advertised on television, they range their monthly prices, which is what they would have to state in their ads, if the Trump proposal actually goes into effect, ranges from $535 to $11,000 per month. And about half of Americans, 47% of Americans, have health insurance plans that have high deductibles. So you have to pay until your deductible is done. And then a lot of you then have to pay a certain portion of that $11,000 on top anyway.
Yep.
So they're going to bankrupt you. Then the insurance starts paying some of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So this system is literally sick, and so now they're saying, well, at least we're going to show you how badly you're screwed maybe, if this gets put into effect. Mm-hmm. But let's end on a fun note. Can you play that video one more time? Because I noticed something in the beginning of that video in the background, the one we just played when Anna was talking. I like that my brother in the Steelers shirt is in the background. How much does that guy look like? Not me, but a guy like me. And he's a Steelers fan just like me.
I like that he looks confused. He's probably not. You know, a picture doesn't mean anything, as Ben would say. It's not worth 1,000 words, but he looks confused. He's got that Tucker Carlson confused look on his face.
Yeah. No, he's probably wondering, why are drug prices so high?
Yeah.
Why don't we have Medicare for all? And why do I also like the Steelers and look like Cenk Uygur, but much more fit? Okay. Sorry, I feel bad for the guy now to compare him to my looks. Rock on, brother.
All right, we got to take one quick break. When we come back, we will discuss the federal deficit and just how bad it's gotten. And then later on in the show, CNN did another focus group with Trump voters, and they had a lot of really interesting things to say post-Kavanaugh.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.